This is Midday on WNYC. I'm Jonathan Capehart. Santiago Ramon y Cajal may not be a household name, but a new exhibition at NYU's Gray Art Gallery argues that perhaps he should be. He's considered the father of modern neuroscience. He won the 1906 Nobel Prize for his groundbreaking work on brain anatomy, and his exquisitely detailed renderings of nerve cells are still used as teaching tools today. The Beautiful Brain, the drawings of Santiago Ramon y Cajal, is on view until March 31st, and New York Times art critic Roberta Smith has called it one of the most unusual, ravishing exhibitions of the season. Lynn Gumpert is the Gray Art Gallery's director, and Dr. Larry Swanson, professor of neurobiology at USC, wrote the biographical essay for the catalog, which is published by Abrams. Lynn, Larry, welcome.
Thank you.
Great to be here. Thanks.
So, Lynn, let me start with you, because it struck me as a bit unusual for an art gallery to mount a show of scientific drawings. Am I not wrong in thinking it's unusual?
You're absolutely correct. We should note that the exhibition was organized by the Weissman Art Museum at the University of Minnesota, and I had received a proposal from Lindell King, the director there. What happens with university museums is that we often trade shows, and they travel from one university museum to another. So I'm always on the lookout for good shows, and when I received this one, I was thrilled. I had been introduced to Cajal's amazing drawings by a young filmmaker and Cajal fan named Noah Hutton when he had come to talk to me about an exhibition proposal of artists who respond to images of the brain and make their work based on them. But when he showed me the proposal and there were Cajal drawings there, I said, "Who's that artist?" I had no idea he was a scientist. I thought he was just making drawings. And that's where I first learned of his work.
So, Larry, you write that Santiago Ramon y Cajal's scientific achievement was equal to that of Charles Darwin and Louis Pasteur. Why do you think he's not better known?
Cajal was one of these geniuses, and we'll probably talk a little bit more about this later, but he was essentially like the Leonardo da Vinci of neuroscience. But it's very hard to actually encapsulate what he discovered in a single word. Like for Darwin, it's evolution. You know, for somebody like Einstein, it was relativity. It's harder to get across to the general public, I think, exactly what Cajal accomplished.
And so let's talk about what he did. I mean, we're talking about him because he was a scientist, neuroscientist, but that's not what he wanted to be, really.
When he was a kid, he grew up, a fascinating history, when he grew up in a tiny little village of maybe a couple hundred people in the Pyrenees, a very poor village, his dad was the local doctor there, and he was a typical kid that got in a lot of trouble, and his dad wanted him to be a doctor, but no, he actually wanted to be an artist. And as a kid, he filled notebooks, dozens of notebooks full of drawings. He was constantly drawing. And his father, at one point, discouraged this by getting a sort of a local art expert to look at his artwork and basically said, this kid has no talent.
Oh my gosh.
So his dad apprenticed him to a barber, actually. And eventually, when he was, 16 or 17, he agreed to go to medical school. And, you know, the rest is sort of history. But he helped his dad out. His father was a doctor that taught anatomy to medical students. And so Santiago started doing drawings to help the students understand the anatomy. And this is where he started to see that medical illustration could be something he could really use his talents for.
Huh. And so, well, then let's fast forward. So this is when he's helping his father, and then he goes to medical school, he becomes a scientist, and then he starts doing these drawings. How does he do them?
Well, so he was sort of puttering along as an assistant professor at the medical school. And he was 34 years old actually, when he looked through the microscope and saw this incredible view of the nervous system under the microscope. And he saw that, and he said, "Eureka, I think I can solve how the brain is put together." And so it was one of these moments as sort of almost a middle-aged person. And I think at that point, he started, this was in 1888, he started to draw what he saw under the microscope. And all of this talent that was sort of wasted miraculously came out in the way that he depicted what he was looking under the microscope.
But then how was he able to, because when you look at the catalog, when you look at the book, I mean, it's beautifully done and very, very detailed. How was he able to get that much detail?
I'm not sure anybody can say other than the fact that he was a brilliant artist.
But what about the dye?
Well, so this leads into the story that the dye he used to look at the brain was actually invented by an Italian doctor.
Camillo Golgi.
Camillo Golgi, who also grew up poor in a tiny village somewhere off in Italy. Mm-hmm. And almost by accident, both Cajal and Golgi did their research in their kitchens at home. I mean, this was a time when they essentially had no money and they were fiddling around. And Golgi, for unknown reasons, made a concoction and put the brain in there and then sliced it up and looked under the microscope. And miraculously, individual nerve cells showed up in a way that no one had ever seen before. And it was a complicated way of looking at the brain, so very few people did it. But when Cajal saw this, he said, this is incredible. I'm going to spend, and he spent the next 12 years, he said, 16 hours a day, 7 days a week. He was just went crazy looking at this. And so he was looking at these images constantly under the microscope and putting the pieces of a puzzle together and then making drawings to sort of tell the story he was seeing under the microscope.
And as I mentioned before, both Cajal and Golgi won the Nobel Prize in 1906 because of all of this. And Lynn, in the show, there are some 80 of Cajal's drawings.
Correct.
Right? And there's a on the cover of the Beautiful Brain, it looks like a tree. It looks like a big blossoming tree, but instead, it's one of his drawings of a
Purkinje neuron.
Oh, thank you. Did you know that
no,
before?
No, I've
any
learned
of this?
A lot in a short amount of time, and Larry is here to correct me if I misspeak.
Well, it sounded like you got it right.
I think what's so fascinating to me as an art historian and to the contemporary artists who come and see the show and to the general public is, and to Cajal himself actually for that matter, and probably the scientists, is that a lot of the structures he was seeing did resemble forms that we're familiar with in nature, like trees and roots. And for the dendritic spines, he called them espina, the thorn. So he was calling on vocabulary with which he was familiar. And it's remarkable. I mean, it's something that nobody knew before. And I think one reason he was able to, from my understanding, and again, Larry, correct me if I misspeak, but one reason he could see so well is by the late 19th century, the German lenses and microscopes had been developed and had reached a point of really powerful imaging that they could use the most, and they haven't changed that much from that date. And we actually have a vintage 1880 Zeiss microscope in the show to indicate to viewers, to let viewers know, you know, this instrument that allowed so much. But it wasn't until later in the 1950s and the development of electron microscopes that many of his theories could be proved.
Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of these drawings, if not all of them, they're on paper,
yes,
aren't they? Paper's fragile.
It is fragile.
So how intact are they?
They're very intact. And from my understanding of the Cajal Institute, it's rather remarkable that they've been preserved as well. They've been stored in actually file folders because they were made not as artworks, but as illustrations for his publications by which he was going to illustrate and prove his theories.
He was also, we were talking about his drawings, and earlier in his life he did lots of painting, but he was also big into photography. Throughout the book, The Beautiful Brain, there are all of these photographs of himself, and not just of himself, self-portraits. Where did this interest in photography come from, do you think?
He seems to have come across Daguerre and learned about the developments in late 19th century France, and become fascinated with photography, and then taught himself how to make the prints, and actually came up with, if I understand correctly, a color photography method that he invented. And he was fascinated with the medium. I think what his fascination with photography and then with neuroscience indicates is he loved looking, observation. And photography is another kind of observation. You're seeing through a lens, it's mechanical. And then drawings, different, but it's all based on observation.
And when you're flipping through the book, you see him in the lab through the decades, including one picture of himself and a friend sort of recreating either a Roman or Greek scene in loincloths with one, and it doesn't make clear, which one is Cajal? Is he the one with the knife? Or is he the one in the bigger bigger loincloth, Larry?
I think he's in the bigger loincloth.
Oh, so that is it's not who
so
I thought.
So he was 16 when he took that self-portrait, and he had just read Robinson Crusoe. And so he was in his romantic phase.
Uh-huh.
And as Lynn said, he picked up a book on photography and actually built his own camera, made his own negatives, developed them, printed him himself, and started taking these self-portraits at a very early age, and continued on. Actually, I think his last one was when he was about 80, which is an absolutely remarkable documentation, you know, almost like Rembrandt throughout mm-hmm. his life, documenting what he looked like.
So the loincloth photograph is from around 1870. And then when you open the book in the first few pages, you see this very, very older, handsome man.
Nobel Prize winner at this point.
He was 68 years old then, and this is from 1920. So Cajal, photographer, sketch artist, drawer, painter, photographer, Nobel Prize winning neuroscientist.
He's also a major literary figure in
science fiction, right?
Science fiction. His autobiography is considered probably the second best scientific autobiography behind Darwin's. It's brilliant. He wrote a book of cafe chit-chat. And he wrote one of the first books on the theory of color photography. He was an amazing person.
Prolific. Where did he find the time? Wow. Well, Lynn and Larry, thank you very much for coming in. I'm Jonathan Capehart, and I've been speaking with Lynn Gumpert and Dr. Larry Swanson with a new exhibit of drawings by Santiago Ramon y Cajal. The Beautiful Brain is on view at New York University's Gray Art Gallery through March 31st. Again, Larry, Lynn, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Coming up, Joanne Lippman with her new book about what men need to know about working together with women. This is Midday on WNYC. We'll be right back after a break.